You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is August 19th, 2021. Well, it's a dangerous world out there, whether you're a business and having cyber thieves lock up your data, or whether you're just minding your own business in your home and home invaders come. And hey, it can happen anywhere, anytime, whether it's identity theft. So you need to have strategies to stop this from happening. Who better than to have on best-selling author Robert Siciliano, known Robert for several years now. He is the gold standard in personal security, whether it's data or yourself. The name of the site is Safer, S-A-F-R.me. Robert, pleasure to have you back on. So ransomware, it seems to be an epidemic. Did you see they got $600 million in ransom, crypto, I guess, paid in crypto, and they gave back $300 million of it because it was a joke, evidently.
Yeah, you know, the ransomware is really an epidemic. It's affecting, every industry at this point, healthcare, construction, manufacturing, and they're even going after our critical infrastructures. Earlier in the summer, I believe it was the Colonial Pipeline hack, where yes, you had gas stations, over 1,000 gas stations were shut down at one point. It affected gas stations from New York along the Eastern Seaboard down to the Gulf of Mexico, all the way into the Houston area, where gas stations were running out of gas. They had to shut down the pipeline because Colonial Pipeline essentially, their network was locked down in such a way where they didn't have the ability to invoice or determine which of their distributors were receiving fuel. And so as a result, they had to shut down for a period of time. And I believe at the time they had paid somewhere around $5 million in ransom. And I think they got a little bit of that money back, not all of it. And then shortly after that, the JBL hack, where they had gone after, I think it might have been the world's largest meatpacking company here in the US and in Australia. And I think that number, and I could be wrong, was somewhere between 10 and 11 million. I could be wrong on that. The food is another critical infrastructure, right? So when they're going after these behemoth organizations, it only makes sense that they're going to go after other gasoline suppliers, go after other food suppliers and so forth. And that absolutely positively should concern everybody in your audience, because if this happens at such a level where we're not getting gasoline, then we're not going to be getting food because it's those trucks that deliver that food. Yeah. And they're the ones that obviously need to be gassed up. So these problems affect all of us. The federal government is trying to do something. Major corporations are trying to do something, but it keeps happening and the bad guys keep winning.
Yes. Yeah. And it seems like the FBI and the agency that's tasked with guarding critical online infrastructure are literally unable to do anything about it.
You know, this is a battle that has been going on now for probably 20 plus years. It's really only gotten bad over the past 5 to 7. And in the past couple of years, the bad guys have just gotten really good at what they do. And we often say that, you know, they are so much more sophisticated, but the reality of it is they've always been sophisticated. Today, they're just more organized. They function as legitimate businesses. They have a hierarchy. They have an infrastructure. And they have teams of talented individuals that are able to socially engineer people on the inside of these organizations to, that ultimately they get access to usernames and passcodes, or they get access to, you know, people on the inside of the network to click links. And once they do so, they are able to access the network from the outside, functioning as they were on the inside. And when they do, they essentially have these organizations, you know, by the, and from there, they manipulate them in such a way where they gain control over that network. They lock down access to certain parts of the network and or access to information that would prohibit that organization from functioning. And so that ransom is essentially made and paid in such a way where they loosen up the control over that network, the bad guys, and they give them access again. And in some cases, in many cases these days, the insurance companies are actually paying that ransom.
Yeah, it's business interruption. So it's definitely covered under your policy if you have the proper coverage, which every business person should have. I remember one time there was a power surge and my main company server blew out and the hard drive was unreadable. And luckily the backup drive, the tape drive, we were using tape at the time, we didn't have cloud storage back then, was readable, but it still took me 3 days to get a new system, get it installed, and get everybody back to business. And I got a pretty decent settlement from the company because we were covered for it.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes it could put companies out of business, right?
Yeah, and it does. And so you mentioned a couple of very important tips here. So number one, you have to be proactive. You know, you have to have proper systems in place to prevent these things from happening, right? You had a tape backup. That was being proactive in and of itself, okay? Having redundant systems, having backups, and having the, you know, IT security personnel in place, you know, CIO, CISO, CTO, and so forth, to make sure that this doesn't happen to begin with, and proper training. So everybody on the inside, on the front line, supervisors, managers, company officers, everybody has to have proper security awareness training. It's not enough to just provide phishing simulation training. You really need to make sure that everybody on the inside evolves from just basic security awareness to what we call security appreciation. So they don't just understand how it all works. They value the what security provides them, and they actually implement all the various tools that you know, security provides. That being said, you had also mentioned insurance. Cybersecurity insurance is the fastest growing part of the insurance industry as we speak. And every business at this point should be consuming some form of cybersecurity insurance. But there's a little bit of a problem with that. A couple things. Number one is that there isn't an insurance company out there that will not sign you up for cybersecurity insurance. They'll all sign you up. But will they pay your claim? Is another story. So when they sign you up, they ask you a number of questions, and those questions all pertain to the security of your network. And often the people that are filling out these forms, whether, you know, online or on paper, don't necessarily understand the questions, nor do they properly fill in the right answers. And as a result, they're often approved and they qualify. But when it comes down to actually filing a claim and the cybersecurity insurance company does a forensics investigation on the actual claim, and they determine that you really were never covered to begin with because you didn't meet the basics in regards to your hardware and software and updates and so forth, that you never really were secure from the day you signed onto the policy, you're not covered. So it's really important to do a solid evaluation ahead of time, bring in your IT people, hire someone, a VCISO, an MSSP, an organization to do a vulnerability test on your network and to assist you along with your attorneys to make sure that you are properly filling out these forms and you are in fact qualified should something go south.
And the other thing is everybody with any computer that has any valuable data should have at least two backups, a cloud backup and a hard drive backup, whether it's an Apple Time Capsule or an external hard drive that does incremental backups. It's a lot harder for them to screw up the cloud backup, especially if it's encrypted, than it is, because generally you're not making images of your disks on the cloud, right? You're actually backing up discrete files. But nonetheless, you can't be too careful with this.
Agreed. Yeah, I actually, and I'm just a small business, and I have probably 6 copies of all my data, both locally and virtually. Virtually in probably 3 or 4 different spots, and locally 2 or 3 different spots, maybe even 4. So I could have as many as 8 copies of my data going at all times. And that way, if in fact you are a victim of this particular crime, or a natural disaster, or a fire, or a theft for that matter, or such as some type of catastrophic loss, which is entirely possible. And the only thing that is certain today is uncertainty, right? The only thing that is, the only time you can use the word stable today is everything is unstable. So really, you need to have backup copies of all your information in the event that things go wrong.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I always had the belt and suspenders, but now I think I need I need extra belt, maybe a couple of extra masks as well.
Yeah,
according to Dr. Froci there, but that's for another story, another day. So, but then we get to personal security, and it's so easy nowadays to get caught up in one of these so-called spontaneous demonstrations, or home invasion to your house, or just plain old street crime, which is off the chain. How do you protect your person, Robert, short of being armed everywhere you go?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So, well, being armed everywhere you go is certainly an option. I am a firm believer that everyone should be trained to use a firearm, okay? Whether or not you feel comfortable carrying one and you are of the mindset where you could actually use one properly is another story. But all of that comes with proper training. And I'm not talking about just target practice. You can take a number of different training programs that train you in what's called adrenal stress training, where you are utilizing a firearm under stress in a controlled environment. So should something go wrong, you can emotionally react and respond in a timely fashion so that you can use that firearm effectively with not hurting those that shouldn't be hurt and potentially incapacitating those that should be, and it not being used against you. So there are a number of considerations that come with using an actual firearm. I think that if you have a firearm, that you should expose children to it on a regular basis so that they understand it, they know how to use it. And if it does show up on a coffee table or in somebody else's house when they might be babysitting, let's say, or just over a friend's house, they know how to use it. They know how to disarm it. They know how to remove the magazine and or, pull the bullet out of the chamber and so forth. I think that's very important because a lot of kids are killed by firearms that are left around by irresponsible adults. All that being said, it's also important that you recognize that your brain really is your best defense weapon. You know, understanding how to avoid and remove yourself from a dangerous situation is fundamental to personal security. You know, understanding self-defense, knowing how to physically debilitate another human being, whether they're attacking you from the front, the side, from behind, using your, you know, your hands, your feet, your knees, your elbows, your fingers, right? Knowing how to physically debilitate somebody by going after their eyes and their throat and their groin and such. By understanding physical self-defense, you know, should you not have access to a firearm or some type of a lethal or non-lethal weapon, you know how to use various parts of your body to debilitate another human being. That is absolutely positively essential. Like my 11-year-old and 13-year-old have already been through self-defense training. And as soon as COVID is over, they'll be doing it every 2 years, at least until they're at least 25 years old, paid for by me to make sure that they actually do it so that they are trained both emotionally and physically to deal with a confrontation. And as we know, they occur on a regular basis. 1 in 4 women at some given point in time will be sexually assaulted. About 2 million homes are burglarized every single year, which means that in the next 10 years, 20 million homes will be burglarized. So not doing something about it, not being proactive, the way we see it, the way I see it, is just being irresponsible.
Hey, and preparation, simulation is the most important thing. Let me just give you a dumb example. Like, I tend to speed a lot, not in residential neighborhoods, but on the highway. The first time I ever got stopped by a cop, I'm shaking. I could barely pull my registration out of the glove box. But at this point in time, 35 years later, 40 years later, it's like my blood pressure doesn't even go up. I stay in control. And then I have a much better chance of talking the cop out of giving me a ticket because the adrenaline isn't taking over and I'm not jumpy or confrontational, which in this day and age is really dangerous. So the point is, in any stressful situation, the only way to deal with it is through preparation and simulation. It's just like with airline pilots, right? They practice thousands of times over losing an engine, having a system go out on the plane. So if and when the day comes where it actually happens, it's like, oh, I'm ready for this. And the training kicks in and the emotions kick out. And that's why what you're doing with your kids is really so important and needs to be done with yourself and others too.
Yeah. So life prepares us for a number of different issues through trial and error, through experience. But there are certain things like self-defense, like utilizing a handgun for self-defense and such, that you really need to train effectively for that, because, you know, their life generally will not train you for that unless, of course, you are in a serious circumstances. And by that time, it might be too late.
Okay. And another example, there's the Palm Beach County Fire Department training area that's, you see it as you pass by on the turnpike. And one of the things they have is this building with a stairway, and it's a small mock-up of a building. And, you know, you see there's black marks all over it because when they practice, they got flames coming out and the guys go up the steps with a hose. And, you know, this prepares them for the eventuality that you're going to go into a burning building. And, you know, all these situations, hey, it might not save you. Obviously, the first thing you want to do is get the hell out. That is the first rule of self-defense, is flight. Okay, but when flight becomes impossible, then we're down to fight. And that's where it's really hard for the average person. I don't know how I would react either, but I do know that that you can prepare for it and desensitize yourself so that, you know, it takes place. All these things take place in a split second and you don't have time to think them out. But when you are prepared, you are trained, it automatically kicks in. The autonomic systems in the brain unconsciously kick in and you're prepared for it. So such a great point.
You're speaking my language. So one of the things that I teach my audience is when we're doing any type of self-defense training is to to what if and visualize all the various situations you might encounter to prepare your mind and your body for a potentially inevitable situation. So if you are simply just walking down the street by yourself, that you're looking to the right, looking to the left, knowing what's going on behind you, and you see somebody off in the distance that for whatever reason concerns you, you what if that person decides to attack me, and you visualize yourself escaping, running, or you visualize yourself being overwhelmed and fighting off your attacker. You visualize them attacking from the side or from behind or from the front. And as you're what-ifing and visualizing, you're actively participating in the potentiality of a situation occurring. So if and when it does, you've already prepared your mind and body for that. So I think it might have been Henry Ford that once said, you know, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, well, you're exactly. probably right. You know, so as long as you are what-ifing and visualizing and kind of making up your mind ahead of time as to what your reaction or response might be, then you will have much more control. Studies show that, you know, 8 out of 10 men and women who are confronted in a violent attack got away by utilizing self-defense, by offering some form of resistance. And knowing that you as the potential victim, while you are not responsible for being victimized, you have the most control over the outcome based on what your reactions are within that first 30 seconds. So if your reactions are to yell and scream and fight and kick and bite, then offering resistance will significantly increase your chances of getting away and getting home to your family.
Hey, it's so true. And situational awareness, that's something that the average person doesn't get. When you're texting on your phone, walking down the street, your situational awareness is zero. And when I used to do it, one time I walked into a parking meter.
I think we all have.
Yeah, I walked into a parking meter and I said, you know,
never again.
Not good. And when you're busy texting, forget it. You can't do it. So, and my son was like texting, walking down the street in London. Two guys came up on a motorcycle. One of them reached over, grabbed his phone, and they were off. And that was it. There's nothing you could do. So
the dialogue that we're having right now, this is dialogue that I have with my audiences all the time when I'm doing a live session, right? And I have these exact same conversations with my family, you know, with my wife, with my kids. And I call these essentially uncomfortable conversations, because for most people, these are uncomfortable conversations. You and I kind of, in it, to a certain degree, like enjoy conversations like this, because we thrive on educating others as to, you know, what their responsibilities are in life, to pre-plan, to be proactive, to ensure wealth, to ensure happiness and so forth, right? To ensure safety. And so if you, as an individual, as a homeowner, as a mom, as a dad, as a company officer, as a CEO, have these uncomfortable conversations with the people in your life, with your employees on a regular basis, until you recognize that the people get what you're saying and they appreciate it at the level where they're executing it, they're doing something about it, then you've changed behavior. And that's what's most important when it comes to security issues, is that you evolve from just aware of it, where you understand it, where you appreciate it and you value it. And that's the goal of all security awareness training, is security appreciation. You actually do something about it.
And it's so important. Hey, it's everywhere you go, you should be doing threat assessment. Like you said, what if? And perfect example is, if I go to a crowded club or theater, the first thing I'm doing is, where are the emergency exits? How do I get out of there if this place goes up in smoke, right? And then, you know, it's always have an exit plan from any public place where you're at. And that should apply to everything. You know, so many people in these fires that happen in clubs or in theaters wind up piled up at the emergency exit. And then the people who didn't panic just walk around them and walk out the door because they're dead. So
yeah,
so important.
I'm also, I do the same thing, and I'm also checking waistbands for bulges, looking for a firearm, either in their back or front hip. I'm looking for pocket guns. I'm looking for ankle holsters, bulges in their pant leg. I'm looking for a pocket knife, like a, generally a you know, a clipped on their inside of their pant leg or pocket. I am always looking for people that are paying unwanted attention to me. I'm constantly scanning the area around my body, not because I'm afraid, not because I'm paranoid, because I want to know. You know, I want to know if something does go down, is it because of that guy or does that guy have my back? Right. I go off to a concert, you know, with my wife. She's la, 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 having fun, not paying any attention other than what's going on the stage. She might be people watching who's wearing this and how does she have her hair? Where I'm looking at the emergency exits and I'm looking at those who might cause a disturbance and or who I might rely on should something go south.
And, you know, my father used to tell me forewarned is forearmed, and that's what you need to be, whether it's your data or your own personal safety, that of your home, your family. I mean, I've watched and we got to wrap it up in a moment, but I've watched videos of burglars. They're all over YouTube talking to the police, explaining how they target homes. And some of them is just so simple that you could stop it. Just not having the ability of anyone to just look in your home and see what's going on there, having lights on. Now with things like Alexa, you could have these complex lighting schedules that nobody's going to go to your house, because generally burglars don't want to do that. It's just a perfect example. All the information is out there on the internet and also on Robert's site. So again, it's safer.me. And if you got a question for Robert, just shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Robert, really appreciate you coming on as always. We will talk to you again real soon.
You're the best, man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.